One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is the greatest privilege of my career to present to you today the epic return of Cleveland's greatest punk rock wrestling podcast. For the thousands in attendance and the millions listening around the world, I proudly present to you the ones and only Jackknife Jess Smith and El Hordano Diablo, and you are listening to the one, the only, the incomparable, the legendary, the Fatitude Era!
Welcome back to the Fatitude Era. I am your host, Jackknife Jess Smith, joined by my lovely co-host,
El Hordano Diablo.
And it has been 3 years, folks.
Has it?
It has been 3 years. And you know what? Things have not changed at all. We are still very disappointed with wrestling, but hey.
We are still very fat.
Yeah, we are still very fat, although I've lost a little bit of weight, but I'm gaining it back because, you know, you got to maintain an image for this podcast.
Well, we're coming out of retirement.
Exactly, exactly. We got to bring it back. We are joined by a special guest here today. He's just going to hang out and chime in every once in a while. It is a good friend of El Hordano Diablo's. You can say it's his right-hand side demon. It is the one and only Drew. Drew, say hello.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, that's Drew.
So, Drew, just to give everybody a little bit of backstory, I met at wrestling trivia at the Side Quest, about 2 years ago?
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And he came in, and your buddy was supposed to meet you there or something?
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened here was I had a buddy who was supposed to show up. It was late. It was getting towards the start of the trivia. He said he wasn't going to be able to make it. And I was sitting on the edge of the bar. I look over. I see you guys, like, sitting over there in the corner. I, like, count. I was like, I only see five. I need a team of six. It's like, I just glance right over and I'm like, hey, you guys need a six man, or the rest, as they say, is history.
Is history. And we came down to a tie that night.
It was a very erotic situation that came several times.
Yeah, many times. We did come because we were so excited and because we were doing so well. And then
just shooting ropes of jism all over the side quest.
Well, and then there's so there's this team, and like Harmony, who hosted it, wasn't prepared for a tiebreaker, so it came down to like an arm wrestling match. And Drew fucking goes up against this dude who's like, looks like the black version of fucking Scott Steiner. And it's like, there's no, okay, so we didn't win. about a, was it?
Well, yeah, because, you know, realistically, you had a one in 44 chance.
We need that sound bite.
Right.
We need that promo as a sound bite.
Right, the whole thing.
Yeah, just like, oh, nope, here's a minute and a half of greatness. Right. But anyway, so the next, so me and Drew, we started hanging out after that because Drew's like a fucking wrestling fucking guru genius.
He's
and
a savant.
He is
like the superhero, savant.
Like, I can, like, I just, like, you can ask him, like, oh, yeah, you know, what pay-per-view was this? And he fucking remembers, like, the card. And I'm like, all right, this is great. So the next...
He's like, at minute 13 and 53 seconds, this happens?
So... About what it was about a, yeah it was like a year because it was a year later right when they did the Double or Nothing one.
No, it was 2 years later because I there was like one done in the summertime that I did not participate.
Yeah,
in.
Neither did I. I don't think we did either. I don't think we ended up going to that second one.
You didn't, but I think BJ and them were there, and I think they won.
Okay, yeah, and then so the third one rolls around, and we're like, okay, we're fucking doing this and we're going to win.
Right.
And we did. And it came down to a tiebreaker again, which was fucking insane. Do you remember, what was the last question?
Which WrestleMania was the highest attendance and what was the attendance number?
Oh, and it was, okay, yeah. And it was, what was it?
It was the one in Dallas, 32. 32.
Yeah, 32. Yeah.
And it was like 103,000 people or something
the
like
that? Last one we covered, actually.
On this show.
Yeah.
And so we ended up winning, and the grand prize was a ticket to Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And I had went to, you know, catch people up. I went to All In. I scored tickets, like, in that half hour that it sold out, which still my favorite night of wrestling ever. It was fucking insane because, like, if you watched All In... if you've listened to this podcast before, if you know who I am in any stretch... I fucking called Chris Jericho. I was like, he's going to be there. I know he is.
If you're one of the unfortunate souls that knows El Hordano Diablo.
Which, you know, coming in January, there's a whole issue of Wrestle Void coming out that is dedicated to Chris Jericho. Literally every piece is about Chris Jericho.
Including a pretty, I would say, probably my best piece I've ever written for Wrestle Void.
And it should be interesting because I know what it's about. I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it's about this time that Hordano and I and Chris Jericho had a circle jerk.
That's basically
we played
what it
Soggy
was.
Biscuit, yeah. And Hordano lost.
Soggy chicken wings.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? One of those little, you know, fucking moments, you know?
So...
All right.
We've already stepped up in the world.
Yeah, exactly. We and let me just say, you may be wondering, if you were a fan of the Fatitude era back in the day, where's the Lord Pete? Well, unfortunately, we became atheists, so the Lord Pete is no longer with us.
No, God is dead.
God is dead.
And that Nietzsche didn't say that. I did. God isn't actually dead. He moved to California. He lives in Oakland now, if I'm not mistaken.
It sounds like the plot of Preacher. God moving to California.
Yeah. But anyway, so I went to All In. It was fucking crazy. You know, basically it was the start of AEW. And then we won that second trivia, and I got the ticket to Las Vegas. And I went to Double or Nothing, and I met the dude, the voice of the NWO, which was cool. I remember Double or Nothing, at least pieces of it. But I'll tell a quick, cool story about Double or Nothing. So I called my buddy Dan, who lives in Las Vegas, and he's a wrestling fan as well. So I was like, hey, dude, I got a ticket to Double or Nothing, like, we should go. He's like, well, you can stay with me. He's like, I don't know if I want to go. And then when they announced the Cody and Dustin match, I called him and he was like, I'm buying a ticket right now. So he went and bought a second market ticket, whatever. And so we go there and
God, the markup on that must have been insane.
I think he said he ended up spending like $80.
Okay, and that's not bad.
No, it really,
for second market.
No, it wasn't bad, but the funny thing is we never sat in the assigned seats of the tickets that we had. And the funny part about that is I was in Vegas seriously for like maybe 36 hours because I'm not rich. And I got completely fucking hammered like an asshole. By the way, 42 days sober right now. Not a forever thing, but just need to find my zero, you know. GP. yeah, boo me for being sober. So I was just like, I was all whacked out of my mind. But like, we went to StarCast. It was cool. I met like Bischoff, James Storm, like Blue Meanie, fucking Colt Cabana, all, you know, it was
his real dad. He met his real dad for once.
I met MJF's dad, Colt Cabana. Which I actually kind of have a personal little rivalry with MJF.
Really?
Because like he, like one of the main indies that he got started in was AIW, and he's always in character. And I just like would, me and him just would constantly go back and forth. Like Chelsea, we'll have to have her on sometime because she got some funny stories. But either way, we go to Double or Nothing. I start drinking at StarCast. Like, I'm like, it's the first place. It's like, it's lawless out there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you can, I literally walked up to an outside bar and got a grain alcohol pina colada. And I was just walking around the street with it and walking through a hotel with it and just meeting wrestlers. And it was great. It was $26, but it was fun. And also, on top of that, because I have a deathly fear of flying, much like Jim Cornette, I was also had a ton of benzos in my system. So I was like, you know, the mix of it was just bad, but I had a great time.
He's just sitting there like, we were somewhere around Barstow on the edge of the desert.
So we get into the MGM Grand, and so there's a little kiosk at like the, at the hotel, casino, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like basically like a convenience store in there.
Okay.
And I walk up and I was like, I just bought Tall Boys, and we were just walking through, and I walked into the MGM Grand Arena with a Tall Boy that I bought at a kiosk inside the hotel. And so, like, I'm just like, I'm moving to Las Vegas. This is awesome. So me and my buddy Dan are just like, okay, so we go and look for our seats, and then I see the press box, and I'm like, nobody's sitting in there. And I was like, well, let's just go sit there. It's that way we can sit together. I was like, let's just go sit there until somebody kicks us out. So we did. And like, nobody ends up coming in the press box except this one guy. And he had a like all access backstage pass on. And we're just like, we're just talking to him. And I was lit. And you know how I am when I'm lit. I'll talk. I mean, I fucking, I'm everybody.
We have recordings on previous episodes of what happens when you're lit.
And I like, I'm everybody's best friend. So I'm talking to this dude. And I was like, oh, where'd you get that? And he just goes, And like, shit, he just kind of shrugs his shoulders and hands us two all-access passes, which is the worst thing in the world to give me when I'm fucking drunk. Because I'm like,
we're going.
And I was like, let's get the fuck out of here and see how far we can get. So we're just walking by all these fucking security guards and all this shit. And like, I'm just like, I was like Wayne and Garth, you know, in the fucking second Wayne's World, like just showing everybody, like, hey. And they, like all these security guards are like, okay, you have the pass, go. Like, I don't give a shit. And like, so I end up running into Sonny Kiss, Jerry Lynn, which I marked the fuck out for big time.
Yeah.
Which everybody who listens to this podcast or knows me, I'm a huge ECW fan. And so, like, and Jerry Lynn, like, follows me on Twitter, and I listen to his podcast with Mikey Whipwreck. So he knew who I was, which was cool. And but that was, like, right after he got hired as, like, a coach. And I met a couple other people. I can't remember who. So we get to this hallway where, like, down at the end of the hallway, there's, like, a curtain. And I'm like, okay, that's where everything is. That's where everybody is.
Yeah.
And so we start walking down this hallway, and I see this dude who's in AEW suit who I've seen, like, it was like the promos leading up to Double or Nothing, like Road to Double or Nothing on YouTube.
Yeah.
I had seen this guy before on there. We get about halfway down the hallway, and he stops us. And he's like, oh, how's it going, guys? And I'm like, oh, good. He's like, where'd you get those passes? I was like, oh, I write for Wrestle Void. He's like, oh, okay. Just like, this dude does not know what I'm fucking talking about. And it was a total bullshit lie anyway. I was like,
well, you do write for Wrestle Void.
I do, but it was a bullshit lie that I got a pass for it. Yeah. And he goes, oh, so you should have press passes. He's like, where'd you get that? I was like, oh, this is just what they gave me. Like, I didn't tell him where or who. And he's like, oh, you should have press passes. And so he's like, oh, yeah, you guys can't go back here. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, I understand, because I'm like, I'm not going to get kicked out of fucking Double or Nothing.
Yeah, bag that.
And we're about to, like, it was about time. It was probably like 10, 15 minutes out of the Cody and Dustin match starting, which I did not want to miss.
Yeah.
So this guy's like, I got to take those from you. And I was like, okay, no big deal. Like, you know, whatever. So he's like, let us keep the lanyards that, like, say AEW on it, which is a cool little, you know.
Yeah.
But he goes, well, let me see what I can do for you. He goes, where were you sitting? I was like, oh, we were sitting in the press box. He goes, oh, okay. Ends up getting us fucking 15th row on the floor. And I got to watch the Cody and Dustin match from there. And, like, this is the only time I've ever cried at a wrestling show, because that match was fucking amazing and is the match of the year.
You really think that?
Yeah, that's the match of the year.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm not disagreeing. I want to get that on record, you know, because, you know, you may not know this if you didn't listen to the previous episodes, you know, from 2015 and 2016, but Hordano always views himself as a wrestling prophet, a Nostradano, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So just be prepared, because, you know, in the future, we're going to have Nostradano segments.
I like it. You know? I mean, seriously, you can, if you go back and listen to the episodes that we do have up, I have called so much shit.
Yeah.
And it sometimes it goes beyond wrestling. Like when I called J.J. Abrams directing Star Wars a year to the day before they announced it.
Yeah.
All true. I don't know. I got special powers for bullshit.
Yeah. In all seriousness, words cannot describe his penchant for knowing shit that's going to happen.
It's the remembering I have the problem with.
Well, hopefully not for long.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
No. I mean, the last 42 days I've been pretty clear-headed. And
So what was the catalyst that made you give it up?
I was drinking alone a lot, which is not... which is never a good sign.
Well, I mean, I remember when I first got back to Cleveland, you know, we met up because, mm-hmm. you know, you hadn't seen me in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you were already 6 beers deep.
Yeah.
And you just kept going. And by the time I had left, it was like right before Raw was about to start. And you're just like, so when are we fucking doing Fantasy Era? And I'm just like, let's talk about this when you're sober.
Yeah.
And good thing we did, because, you know, if we would have left it at that, it would have been, you know, even longer of a waiting period.
Yeah, no shit. And I mean, it's just like, you know, I've just been dealing with a lot of shit over the last few years. Not that that's any excuse for drinking.
What
but...
it comes down to is he missed me.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. He was lost without me.
So I was just burying it with booze.
Yeah.
But no, I mean,
he's just like, I missed the top 10 list.
The top 10 lists are fun.
Well, we have one.
Good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I'm not a forever person. It's just not in my nature to be. But like, what has kept me from drinking is that I'm not anxiety ridden and fucking depressed all the time. And I know that if I go get fucking sloshed, I'm going to feel like shit for at least 2 days afterwards, and not physically, mentally.
If you get sloshed, you're going to look like Sloth from the Goonies, is what it comes down to.
Well, I already got... I'm halfway there. I just need, like, the cone head.
Oh, man. Well, either way, it is very good to be back.
Yeah.
I've missed this personally. I cannot tell you how many times in the 3 years that I was down in Kentucky, I would just listen through the entire back catalog of everything.
I made you send them all to me that one.
This is very true. Very true.
Because I miss doing it. I miss, like, I have my other podcast, Let the Hate Flow Through You, with Jeremy Shear.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we do weekly.
And I was on recently.
Yeah. I love doing that show, but I mean, I love wrestling. And, like, when you told me you were coming back, I mean, because, like, I had done, you know, I had called into your other show.
Yeah, my after service show for Church Absurd.
And, you know, it was just like, and then when you came back and we did Hate Flow, the chemistry was still there.
Yeah.
It was just still there.
Realistically, what it comes down to is people make dumb decisions sometimes. And I made a dumb decision to go to Kentucky. Now I'm back.
You fucking cornet, Mark.
That's what it all was. I was just like, I really got to be near Cornet.
Castle Cornet.
And then he made that joke, and I'm just like, I'm going back to Cleveland. man. But in all seriousness, though, it is absolutely wonderful to be back. I do want to thank my lovely girlfriend, Ash, for letting us record here today.
She's a sponsor of the show.
And, yeah, our sponsor of the show, and definitely the reason that I'm back. You know, Hordano's just a bonus, I guess. But
I always am.
But, yeah, in all seriousness.
Boner,
yeah.
Sorry.
In all seriousness, though, let's get into the show because it has been 20 minutes.
Good. Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, we got to catch people up.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So let's talk
and
about.
And we're known for doing long form.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because so, we're Kevin Smith marks, too.
Right, right. Hey, man, it's Kevin Smith. No. But yeah, let's get into it, folks. It is time for current main events.
Current main events. Current main events.
All right, current main events. There's a lot of good stuff happening this week, but mainly because of the way that things are going and because nothing is really happening in WWE on the main roster, we're mainly talking about NXT and AIW Dynamite.
Well, let me stop you right there real quick, because the biggest current main event is coming up Friday, December 27th at the Odeon, because ICP is going to be at fucking AIW with Too Cold Scorpio. And I cannot wait.
Oh, my God. The Odeon?
Did you not know about this?
No,
oh,
I didn't.
Dude, yeah, no, it came out yesterday.
Oh, Jesus.
They've been, all right, so they've been.
Are they wrestling or are they?
I would assume they're at least going to do a spot.
Yeah.
Because, like, all right, so the show's been booked for a while and, like, they've been advertising Too Cold Scorpio, which is cool.
Yeah.
And we know how much I've made fun of Juggalos over the years. So when I saw this.
Oh, by the way, we forgot to mention. Today is Ty the Gatherer's 15th birthday, so happy birthday, so Ty the Gatherer.
Friend of the show. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, that's the most current main event, and that's going to be amazing, and it's going to be a shit show, and yeah. I cannot wait.
Are you going to paint your face?
No, absolutely not, but I can.
Again?
Yeah, again. Like I said on Twitter, there's not enough face paint in Ohio. That show is going to sell the fuck out, and it's going to be hilarious, and I'm going to be sober enough to remember it, and I cannot wait.
Oh, man. Yeah, but in all seriousness, though, like I said, we're mainly focusing on NXT and Dynamite because as far as Raw goes, not a lot happening. I mean, in all honesty, the last interesting thing to happen was a bunch of wrestlers getting stuck in an airport in Saudi Arabia.
Didn't Roman Reigns just recently get covered in dog food or something?
I think so. I feel like we're in the worst days of the Attitude Era.
Dude.
You know what I mean? Like where Boss Man was killing Al Snow's dog.
Yeah, and
you know
feeding
what I mean?
It to him.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it was so funny. That actually came up last night. Or maybe two nights ago, what were me and Chelsea watching? It wasn't What Culture, it was Cultaholic. And they said something.
What's the fucking difference? I mean, let's be real.
Quality. I fucking hate everybody on What Culture except for Simon. The rest of them are just a bunch of cucks. But.
We could say that they're the young cucks.
You know, I call it What Cuckshire now. But. So, and like, they said something about Al Snow's dog, and she was like, what happened to Al Snow's dog? I was like, I was like, the big boss man fed him to him. And she looks at me and goes, for real? I was like, no.
It's just a sad moment in the Attitude Era.
I mean, dude, wasn't that, was around the same time that, Big Show's dad, kayfabe, died.
Yeah, and then boss man dragged him with a car. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, Drew, you were going to say something when Roman Reigns was covered in dog food.
What I was going to bring up is, as far as AEW and NXT goes, we do have a first this week. They have tied in the ratings this week.
Oh, the
really?
Ratings came out already, huh?
Really? Yeah.
No shit.
That's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Because it's been not the case.
No, it was the first 6 weeks were AEW, and then 2 weeks in a row...
It was NXT. Right?
And then last week, AEW won by a small margin.
Right.
And then, so they tied this
week,
huh?
Yeah, this week they tied, both averaging 778,000 viewers.
Oh,
that's Drew's role on the show. He's our statistician.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, but that, dude, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
And that's a step down, too, from what they've both been doing, because they've both been hovering around, like, 850.
Here's the thing, though. You got to factor in, though. The reason... You know, it was new, and that was the thing. Now it's been around for a few months, everything like that. You know what I mean? It's gonna teeter down.
Yeah.
Which, as every single weekly program does, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But what doesn't change the fact is that you're getting quality stuff on both sides when it comes to NXT and Dynamite. And it's a very exciting time because, I mean, I was watching, you know, Dynamite, and I'm sorry, but starting the, you know, the episode with a squash match from Moxley, which then went into Jericho coming out and offering him a spot in the Inner Circle, was fucking genius.
Oh, I loved it.
You know what I mean? I like, whichever way it goes, whether it's going to be like Moxley doing a doing like a Sting versus NWO thing, or if it's going to be him joining with the Inner Circle, it's going to be a good time.
Well, he's, I mean, he's basically Brian Pillman right now.
Yeah.
He's the loose cannon, and I love it. Like, I love that he, you can tell he's having fun. You can tell Jericho's having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably it's the best Jericho's been.
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, and that's the thing, man. This character that he's putting out now, you know, the Am I Evil? Yes, I Am.
Yeah.
Jericho. It's very, very 1999. You
yeah.
know what I mean? As far as the feeling goes, like, you can tell he's having fun with it. You know,
I mean, like, and that's the thing is, like, I've been saying this a lot lately is, and also I'd like to, like, preface that this show is not going to be like the rest of the internet wrestling community who just bitches about everything. There's a lot of stuff we like about wrestling right now.
Well, and also, I just want to point out for the record, current main events is one segment. We aren't going to just do the news, and that'll be
no,
it.
No, yeah, because, I mean, everybody does that. Yeah, you know, everybody does that. But what I was going to say about Jericho is that we're getting Crybaby Jericho. Like, that's what I've been calling it lately. And it's great. Like, dude, like, him throwing the fit after he got pinned by Scorpio Sky and hitting, like, he took the guardrail and threw it, and then he picked up a chair and was hitting the guardrail with the chair. I mean, and it's reminiscent of, like, his heel turn in WCW, but, like, to see an almost 50-year-old man cry. And, like, the segment the week before was when they had the brawl in the concourse in Pittsburgh, and he's screaming, "I got a ticket," and he's like, what I love about it is, like, he's crying, and it's fucking hilarious.
Like, that's the thing, man. Like, the one thing that you can tell from AEW is that they're having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what it should be, because when everything is, you know, scripted, cookie-cutter shit, you end up with Raw.
Yeah.
And like, then you'll get something that makes it seem like it's not going to be your typical cookie-cutter shit, like Bray Wyatt as The Fiend.
Yeah.
But then they bog that down with shitty finishes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, there's still hope, though, for... Go ahead. There's hope, though. I mean, because Bray Wyatt, he's the best thing going in WWE right now.
Yeah.
And how... Go... If you listen to any of our previous episodes from three fucking years ago...
Screaming his name.
We love Bray Wyatt. I've never not loved Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And the only shitty thing about Bray Wyatt right now is that ugly fucking title that they gave him.
Yeah.
Which pisses me off. Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that thing, I mean, it is the Christmas time. I mean, if you want to spend, what is it, I think...
Drew's seven... like, they sold 672 belts.
No, I mean, if you got, I think it was like $6,000-$7,000 to spend, you can buy that replica belt from WWE Shop.
Is that how much it is?
That's how much it is.
Is it made out of leather? Like, is it made out of humans? Is it made out of fucking Bray Wyatt's kids? Like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
Ed Gein is designing their belts.
I mean, like, dude, aren't the other belts, like, the other replica belts are like $450?
Yeah, give or take.
But, yeah, I looked it up shortly after they announced
it. I'm sorry.
And it's like, yeah, it is like $6,000-$7,000.
It looks like it fucking evil. It looks like the Necronomicon and fucking Evil Dead, dude. It's like, it's not even, like, it looks like a fucking movie prop. Anybody dumb enough to spend $6,000 on that, get a life, loser, you fucking virgin. God damn, dude. Are you, you're not fucking with me?
No, I'm not fucking with you.
God, oh, that irritates. Vince McMahon is a
cheap heat.
That's fun. Yeah, Vince McMahon is cheap heat. And, like, oh god, like you were saying about Raw and SmackDown, like, you got guys like fucking Paul Heyman is, you know, quote unquote, the fucking head of Raw, and you got Bruce Pritchard as the fucking head of SmackDown, and they still both suck. Cause fucking Vince McMahon's like, oh, I'm still like, okay, you can put two great guys in control of two separate shows. If they both have to answer to Vince McMahon, And he gets end of the day. Fuck. End of days. Baron Corbin. I rest my fucking case.
All right.
There's the lament.
All right. I think that covers current main events for the week. I mean,
main laments.
Right. Current main laments.
Yeah. As I say, we're not going to bitch about stuff, and I go off on a fucking tangent. But that's deserved, man.
Yeah.
That's seven. God damn it. Even no, anything. Sorry, but anything above $50 for that ugly piece of shit, because that's how much it cost to fucking make. It looks like it's made out of fucking plastic. It, like, that mask is dope as fuck, and they just, it's like they just took a shit. Like, did you see the belt they had for Bray Wyatt, like,
yeah,
a couple years ago that they never made? Like, that one would have been cool.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the brown leather. It was a cool look for him. Like, I liked when they did the hemp belt for fucking Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That was great. It's perfect for his character.
Yeah.
There's good stuff that can come out of Bray Wyatt, as long as, I mean, they almost fucked themselves royally with that fucking Hell in a Cell finish.
Yeah.
And don't even get me started on that little motherfucker Seth Rollins, dude.
Yeah.
Like, in ring, one of the great, oh my God, $6,500.
Jesus Christ.
$6,500 for what?
It looks like an Etsy project.
WW Etsy.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fucking asshole for doing that.
Yeah.
But
either way,
Seth Rollins, by the way, he's an amazing wrestler.
Yeah.
Do I think he deserves the best in the world fucking number one PW? No, and not at all. Kenny Omega and Okada exist.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
Yeah. Can I add an addendum? It looks like a shitty Etsy project because like, you see some shit on Etsy where it's just like they glue a paper clip to, like, you know, a thing, and they're just like, it's art.
Yeah, art. Okay.
But you know what? Speaking of art, we need to get into our top 10 list. All right. So
I don't even know what we're doing. I'm excited.
It is the top 10 list. That's right, folks. It is the top 10 list. That's
live studio audience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm able to go, and then they stop. You know what I mean? But
live studio audience, like NWA Power.
Yeah, exactly. But we have good news, because it is a fun top 10 list today. And this top 10 list is brought to you by the Counting Worms Shop, the best oddity artwork in the United States, in the entire world. It is fantastic. 100%. You should definitely pick some up. It is built on the idea that everything can be beautiful, even the dead.
See, everything can be beautiful except for that ugly fucking belt.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Check them out on Facebook at Counting Worm Shop, or you can check them out at Etsy.com/shop/countingwormshop, or you can hit them up on their email, countingwormshop@gmail.com, if you want something custom made. And they have custom made butterfly wing earrings just in time for Christmas for the woman in your life. I'm kidding, none of you have women in your life, but your mom would definitely love them. So check them out. Top 10 better reasons to have a 3-year hiatus. All right, are we ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, number 10. Following Cody Rhodes on his indie tour, but getting stuck in Japan.
I mean, I could spend 3 years in Japan.
Yeah.
I could.
Well, because you'd be using all the dirty panty vending machines. And
well, I still can't believe that's a thing. But, like, no, I would just try to hang out with fat ass Masa.
Yeah, there you go.
And just be like, dude, let's go to Fridays.
Right. Oh, man. All right. Number 9. Got thrown in jail for scalping tickets to the Jericho Omega match.
wait, the New Japan one or the one that I saw?
The New Japan.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, no. I remember I was listening to a story on one of the I want to say it was one of Conrad's podcasts, but. when they went to North Korea. Oh, no, yeah, it was Bischoff's.
Yeah.
When they went to North Korea. Apparently, Scorpio, Too Cold Scorpio, I almost said Scorpio Sky. That's racist. Too Cold Scorpio Sky. Too Cold Scorpio got in a fight with Hawk.
Yeah.
And, those are two both badass motherfuckers. Like both tough. But apparently, Too Cold Scorpio got, like, the better of them.
Yeah.
But, like, he got in trouble for it. So he was gonna...
You know why.
It was WCW. But apparently, he was going to... he wanted to kill Hawk. And was, like, planning on it. And I can't remember if it was Ric Flair, but it was somebody talked him out of it. And they're like, dude, you can't... Or, wait, who was it? I can't remember. But, they're like, you can't kill him. He's like, dude, we're in North Korea. You won't make it home. You won't make it back to Japan.
Right. Oh, man. All right, you ready? Number 8, deciding that you wouldn't work until Ryback was paid as much as champions were.
Oh, my God.
He was such a baby.
I'll still go on hiatus. Fuck that guy. I do not like Ryback.
Right. All right. Moving on. Number 7. You lost a bet on the first Goldberg-Lesnar match.
You mean the first rematch?
Yeah. Right.
Was that that was the one that ended in like a minute and a half, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That one, not the one where they got booed out of the building with Stone Cold as the referee couldn't even save the match.
Right. All right. Number 6, you quit out of respect for the death of the Billy Gunn's career.
Tell me you follow that Twitter account.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
All right.
Have you seen that the Billy Gunn Facts Twitter account?
No.
It's basically like the Chuck Norris. Like, it's just Chuck. It's basically Chuck Norris jokes.
But just with Billy Gunn.
With Billy Gunn, and it's funnier.
Yeah.
Because it's Billy Gunn.
All right. Number 5. You went on hiatus because the New Day was no longer champions.
Well, I mean, dude, Jesus Christ. Are they 7-time champions now?
Yeah.
7-time?
Well, back then, they were 2-time.
Holy shit. Well, I mean, good for the... You know what's crazy? The New Day's been around for 5 fucking years now.
Yeah.
And, like, never broke up.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kofi had the singles, you know, that
he
was
doing. Yeah, but I mean, but still, like, they were behind him in that, and you know.
Yeah, it was like when Triple H, you know, went and did his single thing when he was still in D-Generation X.
Like, when he had all the matches with Mankind and shit.
Yeah.
That is an underrated fucking feud, by the
way. Oh, yeah. I mean, that Hell in a Cell that they did? Oh, yeah. That's up there with his Hell in a Cell against Taker.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Number 4. There was an outrage over the All My Friends Were Dead joke from episode 11.
You'll have to go back into the library for that one.
All right. This one is a deep cut because we never mentioned it on the episode, but we did mention it when you were on After Service. Which is Mary Jacobs' email really got to us.
Oh. So, towards the end of our first run, before we retired, we're like Ric Flair. We're just going to retire. We retire weekly.
Yeah, exactly.
We just come out of retirement.
Yeah.
We got a very, very angry email from a mother.
Yes.
Whose kids listen to our show.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Do you have it, Paul? Do you have it?
I'm looking for it.
Oh, dude. It's
because
we never got. Did we ever get to read it on the show?
We never got to read it on the show.
Oh.
Because it came right after we recorded the Shear episode.
Oh, dude.
And then shortly thereafter, I moved to Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
Yeah. I got to find
it. I remember when we got it and you should, because we were working at the same place.
Got it.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, cheap heat.
here we go. Just
they call this cheap heat.
This is our new trigger warning. Yeah. But yeah, okay, we need to set the mood, so here we go.
My name is Mary Jacobs. I have 2 sons, ages 13 and 11, who are obsessed with WWE. I can only guess that is how they found your radio show. Number 1, podcast, not a radio show. I heard them listening to it, and I must say, your show is terrible. All of the profane language aside, the 2 hosts are not funny, and they need serious psychological help.
The fuck's she talking about?
I also recommend that they seek spiritual help as well. The amount of blasphemy and sick attempts at humor for things that shouldn't be joked about almost guarantees eternal damnation. I recommend you...
We had God on our show.
Right? This is the real kicker.
I recommend you stop this awful little radio show and turn your lives around. I will be praying for you. Your sister in Christ, Mary Jacobs, sent from my iPhone.
For the longest time, I was convinced that it was Hordano doing a prank.
Nope.
Because, you know, he had an... Nope. Do you still have an iPhone? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, sent from my iPhone, I thought it was him. Because I've always had Android. Yeah. So... I was just convinced it was him. But
we should email her back. Be like, you know, we took into consideration for 3 years.
Send her the link to the comeback. Let your 15-year-old son hear this now.
Right. Dude, seriously, though, that would be fucking hilarious. Be like, you know what? We really did, you know, give it some consideration. And after 3 years, go fuck yourself.
All right, number two, Hordano was in detox.
Multiple times.
All right, and the number one reason. The number one reason to take a three-year hiatus is... Hogan showed up with tiki torches demanding we stop.
You know, the tiki torch picture, from the fucking dumb racist white people. The best, I was going through my Instagram the other day and I posted a meme that was like, what is that picture of all those dudes? It's like, what do we like? Missionary sex. What's too spicy? Mayonnaise.
Well, that is this episode's top 10 list, and we are going to be right back on the Fatitude era. I have all this information about pro wrestling, and yet I know it's coming from a biased source that's probably paid off by WWE. God damn it. Where am I supposed to go to get non-biased information?
Have you tried WrestleVoid? That's right, wrestling fans. If you're sick of the same biased bullshit that is clearly paid off by the big suits of pro wrestling corporate business, check out WrestleVoid, a corn-fed wrestling zine. Brought to you by Sweet Gravy James, El Hordano Diablo, and Marge.jpg. Each quarter, you can pick up top-notch articles detailing AIW, AEW, WWE, Impact, the Indies, and even the juggalos that wrestle in the backyard next door to your cousin's house. Pick up a copy of the latest WrestleVoid at these fine retailers in the Cleveland area.
WrestleVoid is currently available at the Loop in Tremont. That's the Loop in Tremont.
And I know what you're thinking. God damn it, I don't even live in Cleveland. Well, guess what, you little bitch? They're online at WrestleVoid.BigCartel.com or on Twitter at WrestleVoid or on Facebook. You can even hit up El Hordano on Instagram and ask him to send you one and see magnificent candid shots of what wrestling shirt he's wearing that day. Are you going to stick to the dirt sheets? Fuck you. Does your wife not want you buying wrestling zines? Divorce her. Do your kids think you're too old for wrestling? Kill them. Do all your friends think that WrestleVoid isn't a legitimate publication? Sacrifice their soul to Satan. Pick up your copy of WrestleVoid today and follow the void.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And we are back to the Fatitude era, the absolutely fantastic, the All Elite return, if you will.
I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, we are going to get right into it, folks. If you remember on episode 5, EC Pudge, we introduced a friend of the show known as Adam the Philly Fan, which, great guy. You know, you may not know this, Drew. He's a great guy. He's pretty much always homeless, either calling from a porta potty or from the bathroom of the ECW arena.
What bathroom? Yeah.
But he used to come on and he would do product reviews. Like he reviewed ECW Unreleased Volume 3, and he did the Bloodhound Gang's Hard Off album, everything like that. I asked him, I was like, hey, we're going to get Fatitude Era back together. He was just like, I don't know.
How'd you track him down?
you know.
Did you just drag a beer can through Philly?
Yeah, that and I had human services with me. They knew where he was at, but they knew where he would hang out. I got in touch with him and he was just like, I don't know if I want to do product reviews ever again and everything like that. I'm like, well, what would you want to do? And he said, I want to piss people off. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Philly fans' cheap heat grab.
It's time for the Philly fans' cheap heat grab. Oh, yeah.
So be excited and get ready. So here we go.
What's up, you fucking haggard asses? This is Adam the Philly fan bringing you a cheap-ass heat grab. Let me tell you, the first thing I want to talk about today is the one and only fucking Jim Cornette. He did nothing wrong, man. Let's be real here. Everybody likes a little bit of edgy humor, and what's edgier than fried chicken strapped to the back of a dude in Ethiopia? Let's be honest, man. We all laughed. None of us were actually outraged. And in fact, let's be totally honest. Pull out all the stops. It's funny when the blacks get oppressed. The next thing I want to talk about on that note, Hogan did nothing wrong. If we all had a daughter, we wouldn't want her dating a black guy. Am I right, guys?
Nope.
Well, moving on, if anything, what I want to talk about today is the one and only homeless situation going on here in Philly. Because I'll tell you what, they're stepping on my fucking turf and I want to fucking kill them. I swear, there's this fucking bum that's hanging out behind the Wawa, and he doesn't understand that that's my fucking turf, and if you hang out on the back alley of the Wawa, well, guess what? You deserve to be fucking killed if you're not me.
He's adamant.
And on top of that, the sanitation workers need to suck a fucking fat chode, because let me tell you, fucking haggard assholes kicked me out of the goddamn porta potty in front of Liberty Financial Field. I've been living there for fucking 3 years. In all seriousness, folks, if you take any of this seriously, you're just as big of an idiot as Hordano and Jess are. Hey, fuck you, Philly fan.
What an asshole, man.
Right?
What an asshole.
I don't hate anybody. In fact, the only people I hate is every listener of this podcast, because I was so happy it was over and now it's back and I got fucking all this shit to do now. Jess is coming at me like, oh, you gotta fucking come up with a new segment. Well, here's my fucking segment. Suck my fucking dick, nip tits.
Nip tits.
All this right. Is Adam the Philly fan saying shit, piss, and dicks out. I'll see you next week, fucks. All right. Thanks, Adam.
Some things don't change. Yeah. I highly recommend he watch the episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, The Gang Turns Black. Maybe he'll learn a thing or two.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, so thanks.
Hulk Hogan did nothing wrong.
Thank you very much, Adam, for coming on. Yeah, so if you have any hate mail, send it to
We just got canceled.
Send it to thephillyfan@gmail.com.
This is cancel culture.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's Adam. Adam the Philly fan got canceled.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, moving on. It has been 3 years since we had the last one of these, and frankly, it's overdue. You know, because he technically owes us a lament, because on episode 11, he had nothing. He had absolutely nothing to lament about. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time.
Hordano's Lament.
El Hordano's Lament. If you've never listened to the show before, this is where Hordano gets pissed off about something and rants about it.
Well, and what's good about, say, you can already tell, like,
he had an exhale. You just didn't. It was kind of quieted by the theme music.
So we have Drew here who keeps up on the news. I keep up on the news, but basically what Drew's doing right now is he's gonna lube it up. He's gonna get me going, and you can already. I'm already. Because I kind of know what he's going to talk about.
You can't say lube it up,
oh,
man.
I can. I mean, it's basically what's happening. He's tickling it right now. It's.
Thank God we're not a vodcast yet.
Yeah. So, just, and we'll see where this goes, but I already know that I'm going to get angry, so go ahead.
All right, well, the penciled in plans right now as far as the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania go for next year is they're saying that Roman Reigns, of all people, are going to win the Royal Rumble.
I don't hate that because we, and the reason for that is, which we talked about on the previous episodes. Like, I never had a problem with Roman Reigns. I thought that it was bad booking. He got bad booking, and it wasn't his fault. And the what sucks is like for the people like for those of us that liked him because he's always put on entertaining matches, always. And the drive by is a sweet move. The Superman punch sucks, but what the fuck ever.
But that spear though.
The spear's good, man.
I'm saying he's got a good spear.
Like, it's better than Bobby Lashley's fucking spear. And don't even get me
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the topic for the lament.
We might branch off. Yeah. But as far as Roman Reigns goes, it sucks that it took cancer to get that guy over. I'm just saying.
He got covered in dog food. What he should be covered in is chemotherapy.
Well, he got that already. I mean, dude, the fucking poor dude. Like, and then, you know, he comes back and everybody's like, oh, yeah, Roman Reigns is back from cancer, blah, blah. And then Vince is like, oh, you had cancer. I'm done playing with you. Like, you're a broken action goods. Figure. He's like, it's like Vince McMahon, like, it, like, if you can liken it to, like, he took a Roman Reigns action figure and was like, oh, he has cancer. So, like, Vince McMahon, like, took a fucking lighter and started melting him. Right. Like, he's just like, oh, your bones don't work anymore or whatever the fuck. Go ahead, Drew.
He's a voodoo doll.
And then after that, they're saying that he is going to be the one who brings an end to Bray Wyatt's reign.
Ooh.
That is bullshit because, okay, so, when Bray Wyatt won the belt the first time at that, was it Elimination Chamber that he won it or lost it?
I think he lost it at Elimination Chamber.
No, he won
it. Yeah, we got Drew here. Why are you asking me?
He won it at Elimination Chamber.
And then lost it like a month later. To Cena, or no? Did he beat? No, he beat Cena in the Elimination Chamber for it.
Yes,
I think. Yeah, because he fucking lost it to Randy fucking Orton. Oh, okay. So this is now we have to go back a couple months because if you fucking think about it, and some of this, I'm not the first person to fucking bring this up. But how did they fuck Bray Wyatt the first time when he was champion? Randy Orton burned down his fucking house. And then what did Seth Rollins do? Burned down the fucking Firefly Funhouse. Because of Mr. Burn It Down. Well, that's... fuck Seth Rollins, first and foremost. But why you would jeopardize already, like, first and foremost, they don't fucking know what's happening as far as what's going on Monday and fucking Friday. They have no fucking clue. So why are they even planning for WrestleMania or the fucking Royal Rumble when they need to get their shit on track already? Like, what? There wasn't a fucking match announced for TLC until, like, Monday? There was assumed matches, but nothing was announced because I guess the new thought process for Vince McMahon is, oh, well, we need to get subscribers up for the fucking network. So, they're not going to release. So it's just all going to be assumed bullshit.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Where's Daniel Bryan? Where the fuck's Daniel Bryan? Why are we not continuing that fucking feud? And why is... And isn't this a non-title match coming up on Sunday of TLC?
I believe so, yeah.
No, it is Bray Wyatt versus The Miz.
The Miz, and it's a non-title match.
I don't think they wouldn't do a non-title because... I think the reason why they're keeping Daniel Bryan off is kind of like... So, you know, what happened to him, was that last week?
2 weeks ago, I think,
2 weeks
already.
I think they want to build that up a little bit. So, that I guess they want to give, like, Bray this little side story to do, you know, with Miz and, you know, attacking his family and whatnot.
What's with the start and stop shit, though? I mean, I just don't fucking understand it. And it's like, dude, all right, Bray Wyatt is the most over-fucking guy in the company in years, probably. Since
most likely.
I mean, since Daniel Bryan and or CM Punk.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the most over dude. And they're gonna job him out to fucking Roman Reigns. So you want to now you want to build Roman Reigns fucking back up, right? And then you're just gonna have 100,000 people shit all over him when he beats the guy that everybody fucking loves. Because guess what? They've had a feud before.
Yeah.
They have. Guess what? Everybody booed fucking Roman Reigns when he won.
This is very true.
And it's gonna happen again. Like this. I mean, is Vince suffering from fucking dementia? Like, I just don't understand it. I thought where you were, because that does piss me the fuck off. Because I heard as far as possible main event for Mania was going to be that fucking dumb boxer, that fucking dumb MMA fighter going up against Brock Lesnar.
Why?
No shit. Because it's a proven thing that it sells fucking tickets.
Yeah, but
that dumb fucking boxer came out, and which I'm ashamed I fucking watched that Saudi Arabia show, which, by the way, was the last day that I drank.
Really?
Yeah, you would think that would drive me to drink more.
Right.
Which I did that day. But that was actually the last day that I had a sip of alcohol. And maybe that's what sobered me up. Maybe it wasn't me wanting to get better mentally. It was just that I was so, like, booze can't fix watching WWE Saudi Arabia shows for me anymore. Because that fucking, is he Irish? Is he pikey? I don't know what the fuck he is, but he came out in Saudi Arabia clothes, or Arabia, I don't know what the fuck you call it, and he comes out and calls himself the Gypsy King. He's fucking white, and he came out in like, fucking chic clothes, or whatever. I don't know if I'm being politically incorrect. I don't give a shit.
He's the ivory chic.
Well, what he did was 10 times worse than what I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
And, like, you got, like, a guy like that, and you're going to put who can't wrestle for let's just go ahead and say that. Well, who did he face? Was it, I don't even remember. Was it Braun? Oh, yeah, it was Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar, which, I'm sorry, but the only way I want to watch that match is if Kane goes into business for himself and legitimately beats the shit out of Brock Lesnar and is like, I'm the champion now. And guess what? There's not a goddamn thing anybody can do about it.
Why? Because I'm the mayor. I'll put out a warrant on you.
Why? Because I win. No, Brock, I fucking win.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. But that fucking boxer, if they put him in another goddamn match, who did he face? It was Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Why hasn't that guy been champion yet? And didn't they he was supposed to face Shinsuke Nakamura for the fucking Intercontinental belt, which I'm happy that they're not going to job out fucking Shinsuke like they always do. Hopefully they make that title mean something again.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm just lamenting about fucking everything WWE, which is par for the course,
which is going to make the next few episodes really awkward when he's just like, I think I got everything out.
Well, no, I can find other things to bitch about. Jim Cornette being one of them, which, fuck that racist piece of shit. He's been saying that joke for like 30 fucking years, but dude, some shit just doesn't age well. For example, 70s fucking wrestling doesn't age well, NWA power. There's no room for studio wrestling any longer, okay? It looks bad.
Well, there's a handshake. I don't think the homeless is taking this as seriously as he might should. Trevor Murdoch, he's mad, bad, and dangerous to know. He's the only man I've ever known that could strap a bucket of fried chicken on his back and ride a motor scooter across Ethiopia. Trevor Murdoch can take care of himself.
Dude, Trevor looks like he's fucking racist, man. Like,
that's just the name of a racist.
Yeah, Trevor Murdoch. I mean, and that's the thing is, what I don't understand is, okay, Cornette was stupid for saying that. I still listen to Cornette. Why I poisoned my brain like that, I don't know. Because he did block me on my personal Twitter account at El Hordano Diablo. He did block me on that for respectfully disagreeing with him.
Yeah, that's another issue I have with Cornette. He's just always such a baby. Hey, Cornette.
Hey, give your balls a tug, you tit fucker.
But what I don't understand is, it's not like that's a live show.
Yeah.
Somebody let that go
on. Well, and that's the thing. That was the statement they put out. They were just like, oh, it should have been left on the editing room floor. It's like, what has been left on the editing room floor?
Like, I don't fucking understand, how... Because you can't take away the fact that Jim Cornette is fucking entertaining. He is very entertaining.
To a point. Here's the thing. I've grown in 3 years quite a bit. And the grumpy old man gimmick that he puts out, it does get old.
Yeah.
I can only take it in small doses. And here's the thing. I am not against edgy humor at all. In fact, I have a whole podcast that's edgy humor. But I will say that I don't have a tolerance for people who are so stupid business-wise. You know what I mean? Like, listen, that's not going to play, dude, at all.
And the thing is like, I understand that he is running a business. The reason he shits all over AEW is because that's how he's going to drum up money. I get it.
Yeah.
I understand it. But he shits over everything I love. Like,
yeah.
Like, dude, he doesn't, just like his old man gimmick doesn't age well, neither does fucking shitting on Kenny Omega every fucking week. Because you have, dude, if AEW didn't exist, Cornette wouldn't be fucking making the money he's making right now.
Agreed.
And the thing is, a lot of people don't know, is he's a rich kid. His dad was the main guy of the Louisville newspaper, like, back when that was fucking
important.
And, you know, was tied in with politicians. So Cornette, when his dad died, because his dad died when he was, you know, relatively young, he got a shit ton of money. Like, Cornette's not hurting for fucking money. So it's like, even the dive that he's taken recently, he's not taking a major hit for it.
Yeah.
If you have listened since that's happened, he definitely is way more subdued now.
Yeah.
He needs to keep his fucking nose out of fucking current wrestling because he doesn't understand that it evolved.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm all about power. It's enjoyable to watch, but at the same time,
you're all about white power. let's hear that fire crackle, brother.
Your phone password. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, the point I'm getting at here is...
It's not my fault my birthday's racist.
Right. My whole thing, though, is I feel like power is only ever going to be a gimmick. We were talking about this when we were outside before we started recording. There's a reason it's not on a television channel. It's on YouTube, where you can upload it for free. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's a gimmick. It's all it is. And it's a novelty. And that's all it's going to be. Because it's the same way that, like, you know, 80s parties are a thing where it's just like, oh, it's an 80s party, you know what I mean?
Nostalgia.
Yeah, it's all about nostalgia, and that's fine. I'm totally down with that, but know your role is all I'm saying.
I mean, and the thing is they've got great talent. They've got Colt Cabana, they've got James Storm, they've got Nick fucking Aldis.
Well, and that's the thing, Nick Aldis, his opening promo on the first episode was literally shades of Flair. You know what I mean?
He's
like,
one of the greatest world champions of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, and like that's the thing. But he didn't go full Ric Flair with it where he was just a pompous asshole.
No.
He was like, you know,
he was a distinguished Englishman.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Whereas Ric Flair's a fucking nutcase.
Right. Oh, man. But
insert that fucking music video he did here.
Right.
Whatever song that is.
Right. But in all seriousness, though, I think that does it for the lament this week.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Yeah. I think that's good.
I got angry about a lot of stuff, but I mean, that's pent up 3 years of bullshit, man.
I have crippling depression.
Anyway, so yeah, moving on.
When I drink.
So always.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are going to be right back. We have a nice topic discussion on the way, and then we will close this episode out. So we will be right back on the Fatitude.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hello, ladies. Are you sick and tired of the standard phone sex line? Well, good news for you. Falsco is proud to present the hardest, hottest, most body-slamming phone sex line ever imagined. It's 1-800-MACHO-MAN. Up into the top of the mountain and I'm about to fuck you right on top of it, oh yeah! For only 69 cents a minute, hear the soothing, sexy sounds of Macho Man Randy Savage talking dirty to you until it brings you to your final conclusion for the 1-2-3 count.
I'm gonna come all over your face, yeah!
Call within the next 10 minutes, and the first 3 minutes are free.
The most death-defying orgasm ever imagined, oh yeah, snap into my cock, oh yeah!
Call now, ladies. What are you waiting for?
The cream always rises into a cream pie right into your fucking beautiful pussy, oh yeah.
And we are back to the Fatitude era. Your host, Jackknife Jeff Smith, joined by El Hordano Diablo and the one and only Drew. Our
Diesel Drew?
Diesel
no,
Drew?
No, Jackknife, because Jackknife is too... We can come up with something. We will come up with something.
D's Nuts Dastard, Drew.
Dastardly Drew.
Dastardly Drew. I like
that. Dastardly Danny Drew. Drewing. Drew Doring.
Right.
From Pepper Pike, Ohio.
Right. I like it. But yeah, so this
you
kinda
look like Amish Roadkill.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Oh, man. You know what you look like? An asshole. Anyway. But
I am one, too. Yeah,
there you go. Oh, man. All right, folks. Well, we are going to get into this topic discussion, and it is only fitting to talk about on our return because on the first ever pilot episode of the Fatitude Era, the first thing we ever talked about in a topic discussion was the current state of wrestling, and that was in November of 2015. So it only makes sense that for the return, we talk about the current state of wrestling in December 2019.
4 years later.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. A lot has changed.
It really has. Yeah. I mean, if you go back 4 years ago, there was WWE and there was the indies, and they were not what the indies are now.
Yes. Very true.
The indies, I mean, like, AIW in Cleveland has always existed and has done pretty well and was doing pretty well at that time, but, they're doing much better now, in at least from what I can tell. But that was it. There was the indies and there was, there's Impact. Yeah. Is there really ever Impact?
Right.
Does Impact make an impact? No.
I don't know. If Impact ever went away... It would kind of be like what Carlin said about taking one of the words out of the list when someone called him and said that motherfucker can't be in there because it's a derivative of fuck. And he was just like, what do you mean? It's a totally different word. He goes, well, if you're going to put that in, you need to put fucking, fuckaroony, fuck, you know, and all that stuff. And he's just like, so then it became shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, tits. Doesn't it feel wrong? Doesn't it feel like an old friend has gone away? And like, that's the thing, you know, Impact, it's like, well, you know, there's Impact.
Well, I mean, I never want a wrestling company to go out of business because I like even like a company like WWE who, you know, claims to be, nonpartisan. I don't appreciate the company and their politics. But I do appreciate the talent and I like supporting the talent and, that goes across the board.
Well, and we can't forget that Impact did give us the final deletion.
Yeah.
Which was the greatest fucking thing going on at that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and wow, Matt Hardy was able to create just an amazing, amazing gimmick. And it was on Impact.
He got to reinvent his career.
Yeah.
Like, and they gave him the platform.
And like, that's the thing, because he tried to do that once before with V1.
Yeah.
And WWE didn't give him the platform. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't give him the reins of just be like, do what you got to do with it. You know what I mean? But Impact did. So as much as a joke as Impact is, you got to give them credit.
It serves a purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is throughout history, I mean, I know we're talking about the current state of wrestling, but throughout history, there has been some great stuff that's come out of Impact, you know, TNA, whatever you want to call it. I mean,
I'll be honest. Aces and Eights I enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally derivative of Sons of Anarchy.
Well, yeah.
The thing is like Bubba Ray Dudley, anytime you get that guy involved in something, he gives it everything he's got.
Exactly.
And he made it good.
That even is when your talent enhancement, which is what they were when they were brought back to WWE in 2015, which was the catalyst for me to start watching wrestling again.
Oh, dude. I remember the New Day was in the ring, and then the fucking bombs hit, and it was just like...
And Brian Quinn was in the audience, and he was so excited, just like I was.
Quinn from Impractical Jokers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Tell Him Steve Dave.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so, yeah, back then, that, I mean, and the thing was, is, like, it was getting interesting, I mean, because there was the New Day. Yeah. There was, you know...
The Ascension.
No longer employed.
That's one thing we didn't cover in current main events, was the releases.
The releases.
Yeah.
Oh, Luke Harper, Brody Lee, oh, my
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God, thank... You know what? I take back almost nothing I said about Vince McMahon, except for the fact that he finally let him go because Brody Lee, Luke Harper, whatever you want to call him, is a main event talent. He is fucking the second coming of Bruiser Brody. Just let him do that.
Yeah.
His clothesline is unmatchable.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I want to see him versus Hangman fucking Page.
Yeah.
You know, in a clothesline match.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because they're going to knock each other's fucking heads off.
Yeah.
Who else they will let
Sin Cara.
Sin Cara. And then
which, you know what?
Sin Cara 3.
But here's the thing. I'm happy for Sin Cara because realistically, he's going to go back to AAA and he's going to be a star again.
Yeah.
And because... Sin Cara hasn't been over since Lucha Dragons. You know what I mean?
God.
And it was even longer before that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So realistically, let him go get his fucking paper, man.
Yeah.
You
no,
know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
And my whole standpoint is if there was a spot for him in AEW, if he was needed in AEW, I'd want him to go to AEW. But realistically, I want him to go back to AAA because that's where he's that's where
he'll
he can
make money
shine.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll make money there and you know, they'll use him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the Ascension,
right.
Who I Connor and Victor,
great in NXT,
yeah.
But then once they got to the main roster, it's like, oh, you know, because Vince doesn't like tag teams, had no idea what to do with them.
Well, I mean, not only that, but like I feel like hopefully the Revival is another one that's going to be let go soon because
I think they're going to throw too much money at him.
I want.
Everybody who's a real fucking wrestling fan, in my opinion, who doesn't want to see the Revival versus the Young Bucks?
Yeah.
That is going... It's going to fucking... Who doesn't want to see the Revival versus LAX?
Agreed.
You know,
agreed.
Like, yes, I would love the Revival to be let go.
Yeah.
I would love it. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I did come across this earlier. Like, according to the Dirt Sheets, the reason why WWE is letting go... some people
free up money.
Free up money. There we go.
So they can sign.
So they can give certain guys big contract money.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. There are certain people that they were adamant. Like, no, there's no way we're releasing you from your contract because
they were tacking on time.
Well, not only that, but they were also saying that you know, anybody that they were going to let people go who they didn't think were going to go to AEW, but realistically.
Everybody knows that fucking Luke Harper is going to fucking go to AEW. Because they want him.
Yeah.
Like, they fucking want him.
Yeah.
The Ascension, me and Drew were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I don't see a place for the Ascension in AEW.
As the Ascension, no. But as something else, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I just, they have a lot of tag teams right now. I would like to see those two go get over.
Run?
No, not even a singles run. I'd like to see them go get over on the indies.
Okay.
Like, get over on the indies, go wrestle in Japan. There's a place for them in Japan.
Yeah.
There's always place for tag teams in Japan.
Well, I mean, especially because, you know, now that, you know, all this is happening, Bullet Club is just, you know, bleeding, basically.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love all the guys in Bullet Club. It's just not what it was.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's just a situation of, like, it's the golden age of Bullet Club is over.
Yeah.
And now it's like if you remember the show Zoom, where like every season they'd get a whole new cast. It's the same idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, you got the guys there like Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, who are again one of the greatest fucking tag teams there are.
Yeah.
You know, constantly on Instagram. Like, if you don't follow Tama Tonga on social media, you are missing the fuck out because he's hilarious. He, given the chance, he's going to beat the shit out of Enzo, and it's going to be awesome. But, like, all right, so, like, going back, like, 5 years ago, yes, New Japan existed, but Kenny Omega hadn't completely busted out. We were about a year away from that.
Yeah.
From him being Kenny fucking Omega, which, you know, 2016 started ushering that stuff in, and then there was the Bucks and the Bullet Club blew up. And then Cody fucking... Cody is arguably the fulcrum for where wrestling is today.
Okay.
Ring of Honor was Ring of Honor. It had always been around. It's produced great fucking stars, but it was always just kind of there. And those guys were basically waiting to go elsewhere.
I think, like, Ring of Honor is basically what ECW ended up being towards the end, where it was basically like the draft house for WWE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, guys from Ring of Honor will make, you know, they'll make an impact in Ring of Honor, and then they get signed to NXT.
Yeah.
And then they make the impact in NXT, they get called up to main roster, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, so realistically, that's what it is.
But Cody went there and turned Ring of Honor upside. Not that the Bucks weren't, you know, doing great stuff there.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
But, like, and Adam Cole.
It's, the thing is, Cody Rhodes basically formed a Justice League of pro wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, we had, and we're talking old Super Friends Justice League. So we had, you know, the Young Bucks, which are the Wonder Twins. And, you know, they were doing their business. They were kicking ass, right? Then you had...
Or Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
You could even say Batman and Robin.
Yeah, and then you had, like, Kenny Omega, who was, like, your Green Lantern. You know what I mean? Then you had your Jericho, who was your Superman. You know? Stuff like that. And slowly but surely, he built up his Justice League.
And that's the thing is, like, that's not to say that everybody is standing behind Cody Rhodes. They're all on the same level.
Yeah.
He just kind of pieced all of it together and just was like...
That's what I'm saying. It's there's just like the way the Justice League works, where every single one of them kicks ass on their own. But when you put them together, they're unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same idea. And because of it, you've ended up with this renaissance period of pro wrestling, where it is even a better time. Because right towards when we were at the end of the show, the first run, it was a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Now it's the best time
ever.
In the past 20 years?
20 years.
20, 30 years, maybe?
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, for those of us old enough to remember the Attitude Era, it was awesome. But, I mean, and I love the Attitude Era. I mean, you can't take away from the fact, like, Austin.
Hogan,
and
Mankind.
Satanic Undertaker.
Yeah.
The Outsiders, you know, everything. You know, when you say Attitude Era, it doesn't just mean WWF.
Yeah.
It means all that entire period.
Yeah.
ECW. But that shit is dated. That shit is like not those storylines, but like that the way that
the energy.
Yeah, it's not the same. Like right now it's just like everything is so vibrant and
okay, so going off of what you're saying there.
But I mean, Drew, you can even speak to like when we first started hanging out, you were just well-versed in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember once they announced AEW and you were being like, I've never been this excited before.
Right.
And so, I mean, for, like, you can speak to it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I definitely can because I was born in the summer of 85, so I grew up with everything, like, the peak of wrestling back then. And I can say right now that, like, with my, you know, ticket purchased for the AEW show coming to Cleveland, like that is like the most I'm like the most excited that I have been in a long time to go to a wrestling show.
And that's the thing, I don't want anybody to think that we're completely giving up on WWE. We're mainly just hoping that they get better, because right now AEW is it's new and exciting, but that's the thing, it's exciting,
right?
The one thing that made me, because like that's the thing, I've been kind of off the grid when it comes to wrestling because I was just getting, like, I was over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not because, like, you know, I'm a fair weather fan or anything like that. I would still peep in to check out matches. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I wasn't going to be the guy that's, like, finding some place to watch Raw every week. You know what I mean? Like, there was no way. But then
things start happening. You know, Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse, like that right there, that perked my ears up real fucking quick.
I just got fucking goosebumps because I remember like the first time we were at fucking SideQuest.
Yeah.
And like that's where we used to go and watch Raw and there. And I mean, it's like it's a fun environment and everything, but Raw's just not worth it for me to go out and watch anymore. Yeah. And it's honestly sitting at a bar at this juncture in my life is not probably the best idea for me.
Yeah.
But like I remember like the Firefly Funhouse and just being like, oh my God, they might let Bray Wyatt get over.
Right.
And they have.
And like that's the thing. It's, you know, the problem is though, it's only small single things that I'm excited for when it comes to WWE, where AEW, it's everything I'm excited for. So, like, that's the thing. I'm hoping, really hoping, because back when we were on the first run of Fatitude Era, we were talking about hoping that somebody would rise up and give WWE some competition because Vince works best with competition.
Right.
You know, that's why the Attitude Era was what it was. You know, we had Austin and McMahon in response to the NWO crippling WWE's ratings. Well, right. WWF at the time, but regardless.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that Vince understands that he can do some magic here with the competition. And number one, stop ignoring them. Stop ignoring
they won't mention their name, but I mean, dude, they have made strategic fucking moves to go up against.
But here's my thing, though. In the Attitude Era, the D-Generation X went to WCW's doorstep with a fucking Humvee.
Yeah.
That's my point. Yeah. That's what we need.
Well, I mean, like, when the Bullet Club did it, and by Bullet Club, I mean, like, the Elite Bullet Club. Like, when they went to Raw, and Jimmy Jacobs was a writer for WWE, he got fucking fired because he went and said hi to his friends. It's like, no, embrace that. Like, there's
like that's the thing. Like, imagine how great it would be, especially because their main competition right now is NXT, because that's who they go up against every Wednesday night. How great would it be to have NXT raid AEW or vice versa?
Well, and the thing is like, all those dudes are friends.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so, and they can all work together.
Yeah.
You know, like, Adam Cole's tight with the Bucks.
Right. And it's like, just like the thing you brought up with DX, you know, invading WCW at that time, you know, like, you know, those guys of DX, you know, were friends with, you know, Nash,
right,
Hall.
Right, it was the clique.
Yeah, the clique.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, in all seriousness, there's nothing to lose from playing off of each other like that.
Right.
All that you stand to gain is a shit ton of money.
Exactly.
And sold-out shows. That's all you really have to look forward to. And why is that a bad thing, Vince? You know what I mean? That, like, and fucking Triple H knows that it's be worth it. You know what I mean?
I mean, he knows that, but he'll put it down because, like, I mean,
well, yeah, loyal to the brand.
And I get it, but like
I get it too.
At the same time, dude, it's just like Cody, the Bucks. I mean, bless Tony Khan for having the money, you know, to be able to get them on TNT and all that shit. That's great. You know, people have thrown around the word money mark, which it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, all of us are marks, dude. Wrestlers are fucking marks. Like, I hate that fucking word.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's the joke around every once in a while. It's fine. But like, it is what it is, but like, and those guys are still learning how to run a company. But, you know, you think about the fucking tutelage of Cody Rhodes when his dad had the books in certain places, you know, and then you got the Bucks who are fucking brilliant businessmen.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got like a young star like Hangman Page. And then you've got Jericho who has literally done it all.
Yeah.
He's done everything. The dude could retire tomorrow and be like, I had the best career of fucking any wrestler. I mean, he has been able to reinvent himself over and over and over again and stay fucking current. And if you go back and listen to his reasons why he left WWE, it all makes sense, man. And guess what? Now he's 49 years old. He's the world champion, which he had to be the first world champion
of course
to give them clout.
Yeah.
And the guy to take it off of him is going to, it's going to build a new star. And like we were talking about, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan because, I mean, I can talk again about you know, going to AIW shows and seeing fucking MJF's first AIW show.
Yeah.
And looking where he's top heel in the fucking, I mean, well, I guess Jericho's the top heel in the business, but like, MJF is the best.
Yeah.
Nobody can touch him on the mic.
Well, and I loved that MJF was playing off that in last night's promo.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? When he was just like, people are calling me the young Chris Jericho and everything like
that.
Well,
dude, that like that line, like, and that's another thing, is it's not fucking completely scripted. They actually give the guys the creativity to go out there and be like when he said, he's like, what did he say last night? My mouth is a machine gun.
Yeah.
And my bullets don't miss.
Yeah.
Like, that kid's 24 years old.
That's insane.
He's
he's younger than every single one of
us.
Right.
He's basically fucking Roddy Piper and Chris Jericho shoved into one person with, like, the cockiness of Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
And we get, like, we're going to get to see all those dudes, like, they haven't even fucking fully bloomed yet.
Yeah. Right. We're going to see them grow up.
Yeah. It's fucking great.
And then we'll get to a point, you know, we're, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the line, we're just going to be sitting there with tears in our eyes, like, we're so proud.
And that's the thing, dude, is, like, it's, like, my fiance, like, she was not a wrestling fan before we got together, and now she's a full-blown wrestling fan. She knows her shit, and she got to come into the best period.
Agreed.
And like, it's really cool for her, because, like, she, at her first indie show, she got to fucking chop somebody. At the first AIW show I brought her to, she was like, is that Colt Cabana? And I was like, how the fuck do you know who Colt Cabana is? She's like, oh, well, I used to watch the Chris Gethard show. And like, I was like, she's like, yo, he used to call in all the time. So like, I go and grab a beer. I come back and Chelsea's fucking chopping it up with fucking Colt Cabana talking about Chris Gethard. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And like, she's got to witness like some of the great, like, she, like, the first thing that made her fall in love with wrestling was Braun Strowman. She was like, that man is huge, you know? And but like, she's got to like really see, and it's like cool to see like new fans are coming in and they're getting to witness shit that like there's not one option anymore.
Yeah.
Right. There's a million. Like, dude, I fucking love New Japan. Kazuchika Okada, in my opinion, is the best, like, pound for pound in ring, best wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho is my favorite. He's the greatest of all time, in my opinion. But Okada, like...
And you can read about it in Wrestle Void in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestle Void, number 8.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just... And it's... Dude, talk about fucking Wrestle Void, man. Like, it's a zine that me and Adam Gravatt, Gravy, who will be on the show...
Sweet Gravy James.
Sweet Gravy James. We started over a year ago. And then we brought in Marge.jpg. I don't like to say her full name because I don't know if she likes her full name out there. But you can follow her at Marge.jpg. She's like our third partner in Wrestle Void. Jess is like, we do a zine, and we're about to release the 8th one, and people fucking buy it, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy that this stupid little punk rock zine that we started is actually like, I mean, dude, we just did a con. We just did Genghis Khan. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And got to meet new people.
And let me just tell you, man, like, being down in Kentucky, it was really...
Outlaw mud shows.
It was really nice to be able to, like, still talk about wrestling, because I didn't want to do another wrestling podcast without you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just felt wrong.
Dude, people asked me, and I was like, no. I was like, there's a chemistry here that I was not willing to give up.
Well, do you fancy a shag, or do you want to hold hands, or
just handies? Yeah. Just handies.
But in all seriousness, though, like Wrestle Void is something to definitely be proud of. I really hope that when, you know, issue 8 comes out, everybody here picks it up. We'll have a link to the store in, you know, the episode description, everything like that. Any back issues are still available. You can pick them up. I recommend issue 6, I believe, because I wrote a top 10 list for that one.
The one
that was
Bray Wyatt on the cover.
Yeah, I was really a big fan of my top 10 list in that one. So definitely check out that. And, you know, it's just
all in all, it's a good time. You know, it's a great zine, a lot of great people.
It's just very positive, you know, like towards wrestling. Like I, you know, I'm the heel of the group, if you will. Like I'm the one who gets snarky and shit, but like it's very positive towards wrestling. We tend to steer away from WWE stuff. Like there is stuff about WWE in there, but yeah. Like we tend to talk about, you know, indie stuff and AEW and New Japan.
Well, I mean, realistically, it's hard to talk about WWE and just not be bitching all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So realistically, it's nice to have some positivity because it doesn't hurt to be positive sometimes. You just have to have shit to be positive about.
Yep.
And you know, we're hoping that by coming back and by doing this show, we're able to do that again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you remember, if you listen to the previous episodes, which you can now if this is your first experience, you can go back and listen to those previous episodes. Even when everybody was shitting on Roman Reigns, we were talking him up. We were just like, I like the way he did this. I like the way he did that. You know what I mean? So realistically,
we've always thought he was entertaining.
Yeah.
He was just booked poorly.
Yeah, he was booked poorly and his promos needed work.
Yeah.
But like my point is, yeah, we shit on
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, we shit.
He's a new Roman Reigns.
We shit on things, sure, but at the same time, we don't just only shit on things, and that's the problem with most wrestling critics is that's all they do is shit on things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of the greatest fucking promos ever to happen was after Jericho won the title. Little bit of the bubbly.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
That whole promo when he's walking through the back, dude, is just when he fucking looks at Brian Pillman Jr. and goes, nice haircut, idiot. I mean, and like when he's like, what? No, thank you. A pleasure's yours, Bucky boy. It's just like he, and then just, I mean, what was born out of that? I was wearing the old bubbly shirt yesterday. I have the I've got a ticket shirt. Like
right.
Jericho, I mean, just through me alone, prints fucking money.
Yeah. but my point is, you know, like, just like that moment, like, how could you shit on that? But you know, there was people shitting on it. It's just like, oh, it's hacky. It's hammy. It's,
this
you know.
Isn't. And the thing about him, though, dude, that's the greatest thing is he knows when something's about to be beat. So he just fucking starts something else.
Yeah.
Like, he's brilliant like that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing is, like, why not be, like, it's nice to, like you said, be able to be positive about fucking wrestling again.
Right. Very, very much so. And you know what? That's what we intend to do. Granted, we're still going to bitch.
Oh, we're going to bitch.
Yeah, we're going to bitch a lot. But in all seriousness, you have
Jinx,
a lot.
Jinx, let's do some coke.
A lot of good things to look forward to. Drew, do you have anything to add to this?
Fucking bullshit!
Yeah, I just want to, you know, thank you for allowing me to come on the show today. And
absolutely, man. You're welcome back anytime, especially because you're likely Hordano's only ride.
Yeah, you will. You too. You too. My Ubers, my Lyfts, my friends. What am I giving a fucking sermon now? Jesus.
Friends, Romans, countrymen. Lend me your cars.
Well, yeah, no, Drew.
I'll flip them.
Dude, it's still the greatest spot I ever did when I flipped my car. But no, Drew will absolutely be back regularly. That's the thing is, not only are we coming back, it's not going to be the same thing as it was before. It's going to be similar.
Yeah.
But we have so much more to do now.
And don't get me wrong, we are still having the good old segments. You know, occasionally we'll talk about movies on Fatty Flicks. We're going to do top 10 lists. We're going to have Hordano's Lament. Occasionally we're going to bring on Ty the Gatherer, hopefully. You know, it's
when
just
not on tour.
Yeah, when he's not on tour and when his mom says we can talk to him because she grounds him a lot, you know. But in all seriousness,
he needs it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's moral fiber. But in all seriousness, folks, we can't thank you enough because it's great to be back and it's great to be able to entertain you folks, and we missed you. We really did.
On the Above Below Network, by the way, under the Lousy Weather Media umbrella,
yeah.
We are back.
In association with Fat Lulz Radio.
Yes, 100%. So it's fucking, we're back. It's going to be fun. We're going to have fun. And I mean, dude, like we said, we're not going to do your weekly shit.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
We're a wrestling variety show.
And just for the record, we're going to aim to do this thing weekly. Occasionally, we might miss a week, but just know that we're never going away again.
No.
Okay? If, you know, we are doing everything in-house now. So literally, there's no reason for us to go on hiatus.
We live 5 minutes away from each other now.
Yeah, yeah. So even
we all live within like a 5 mile radius of each other.
And in all seriousness, Drew, I do want you to come back because it was great having you on. And it's great to have a statistician here.
He's our Mike Tenay.
Oh yes. Oh,
he's our Mike Tenay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dude, for sure.
We lost a lord, gained a Mike Tenay.
I'll take that any day of the week.
But yeah, shout out though, in all seriousness though, I do want to thank you, Pete Milk, if you are listening to this, because without Milky Way Recordings, we wouldn't have had those first 14 episodes. So just want to give you a thank you, you know.
And, we love Pete. I miss Pete.
Yeah, I miss Pete. And hopefully, you know, because I have plans for one segment called The Lord Speaks, in which he calls us and just bitches at us. So
I'm sure we can arrange that.
Yeah. Right. It's like 3 a.m.
I got a direct line to God.
the angel phone from Preacher.
Yeah. I got a main line to God.
but yeah, in all seriousness, folks, I do want to thank you very much for listening to this episode. If you want to hear more from Hordano, where can they find you?
You can follow me on at El Hordano Diablo on Twitter, on Instagram, or at WrestleVoid on Twitter or Instagram. I run the Twitter account for WrestleVoid for the most part.
And Above Below.
And Above Below. I'm not on. I need to get on that more, but now that I have like more projects coming out.
I have a Fat Lulz Radio Twitter, and I just use it to retweet shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I need to do anyway. Above Below's got Labyrinth coming out, which is getting great reviews. Directed by BJ Colangelo, written by BJ Colangelo.
Who also directed Powerbomb, which Jordan's in a background scene, most likely.
Yep, I am.
He plays a corpse.
I play a fan. I basically play, like, there's a picture of me.
Were you a method actor for this role? Or?
Basically. I mean, I acted as myself. But, like, there's a picture of me holding up, like, a sign for Dick Justice. And, like, BJ said, like, when she sent me the picture, she was like, this is literally you being you. But
and then I took that photo and edited it saying like, ask me about my wiener. Yeah.
Jess has photoshopped many photos of me.
This is very true. My favorite one is you as Dr. Evil in the freezing rocket ship.
Oh yeah, that one. And then there was the
genie.
No. Oh, that one was freaky as fuck. He made me the Will Smith genie.
Oh,
on the live action.
You can find it. It's in his profile picture.
Yeah. If you go on my Facebook, which I'm never on anymore, I just can't stand Facebook anymore. But that's for another time.
Yeah.
But
or Donald's Lament, part two.
Drew will be back.
Drew, where can they find you?
I am pretty quiet on social media.
I mean, give me your address. Where can we... I want to sleep in your bed.
The first time I walked into his apartment, I was like, this is where the lion sleeps.
I am at Twitter at all, let's see if I can pull it up here, @allelite76.
Yes.
All right, fantastic. Also, if you want to hear more of Hordano's voice, you can check out his podcast with Episodes 14's special guest, Jeremy Shear, Let the Hate Flow Through You, available through the Lousy Weather Media Network on Audioboom and all your favorite podcast platforms. If you want to hear more of me, oh, wow, get a pen, folks, because there's a lot. I have my Edgy Lord show, which is The Church Absurd with Reverend Justin Deacon Sam, available on all your favorite podcast platforms. I am second Mike on the Fickle Fanboy pop culture podcast with RPM. You can find that on all your favorite podcast platforms. RPM and also... And I also have a movie show that we do called Acclaim and Shame, where we look at two movies, one that is critically acclaimed, one that's critically reviled, and determine if the critics were right. That is premiering soon, so be excited for that.
I'll come on that show. You too.
Yeah.
Drew, yeah, we're...
Okay.
I mean, as you can see, I'm sitting next to a shelf, and there's another shelf in the closet that is just all DVDs.
Yeah.
And DVDs and Blu-rays. I'm not a heathen. But yeah, in all seriousness, definitely check that out. If you need some photo editing shit, occasionally I do that. So I work cheap, but you get what you pay for. So I just want to point that out. If you want to see some of my work, you can check out the return poster for Hate Flow, in which I parodied Twin Peaks.
Yep.
And then you can also check out, you know, anything from Sad Boys Social Club, because I did a lot of artwork for them. But
the Bullet Club logo was really good.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that one. In fact, I have the sticker on my laptop. But yeah, in all seriousness, folks, thank you very much for listening. Drew, thank you very much for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Hordano, you're a disappointment.
Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, I'm right.
But in all seriousness, folks, and you know, this is where the first change happens, because fuck Jim Cornette.
Fuck Jim Cornette.
We're not going to quote him anymore. So if anything, until next time, folks, I think we should just end it with a good old...
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This has been a Fat Lulz Radio and Above Below Entertainment production under the umbrella of Lousy Weather Media. Check out more shows at lousyweathermedia.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.